Good morning. Welcome to our prayer time and our Bible study. This morning, we have got an incredible, incredible topic. We are going to be talking about how to have divine favor. And I know a lot of people are looking for divine favor in their life as well as in their business. So we're going to be giving you some step-by-step instructions, exactly what it says in the Word. But let me ask you a few questions beforehand. Well, actually, before I do that, let me go to the Lord in prayer and just ask a blessing over our time together. Father God, thank you so much for our time together this morning. Thank you that you do love us so much. Your mercies are new every single morning, and that you want to bless us, and that we are your chosen children. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. I do not take this responsibility lightly, Lord. I thank you that you are anointing my mind, that you are anointing my life. You are anointing this call. Lord, I just pray that you will speak through my mouth of clay. Give me supernatural recall of your wisdom and your word. Lord, I pray that you will touch the hearts of each person that's listening. Lord, take the scales off of our eyes, unplug our ears, and circumcise our heart anew, Lord, so that we walk away different than when we came. Thank you that you are giving us your divine inspiration, your breath, your life for this week. We praise you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you, how do you live out the love of God? Do you live it out on a daily basis? How do you live in divine favor? Because really, his favor is his absolute most amazing love, right? He just wants to shower us and bless us. And then the most important thing to God is relationship, right? So how do you share relationship, whether it's relationship with the Lord or just relationship with other people? You know, relationship is the most important thing to the Lord, and oftentimes it's the very first thing that we relinquish, we avoid, or we dismiss. I coach from a Christian perspective with a lot of my clients, and that's one of the first things I'll say is like, oh, I just know that I'm not spending my quiet time with God, or I need more quiet time with God. I need to have that inspiration. I need to be centered. I need to know that I'm on God's path. And when things get busy or things start going well, a lot of times the relationship falls apart. And it's not that God's not there waiting for the relationship. A lot of times it's us, right? So think about that even as far as that goes with your family or your business partners or the people that you just have in business, your clients, your hosts, your whomever, your mastermind group people, whoever it is for you. Do you realize that one of the most important things in the relationship is God chose you first? He chose you to be in relationship with him. You were chosen. You were chosen not just because he thought, oh, well, that one's cute or that one's not cute or that one's tall or that one's not tall. He chose you because you were special to him. You were chosen for this time and you were chosen for this moment in time. You were chosen for your business and to use your influence. Even if your chances for success look pretty slim, maybe some people are talking bad about you or maybe you've been disrespected or maybe you just feel like, you know, I've got way too much to prepare for. It's way bigger than what I could ever put together. Maybe you have to make some tough decisions or maybe even some risky ones. Maybe you feel like the odds are against you. If you feel that way, I want to remind you that God is for you. Now's the time for the rebirth of your dream. God wants to shower you with blessings. He's waiting to shower you with blessings for respect, honor, obedience, kindness, love, and care. Do you ever wonder about your position in life, why you are where you are? Well, the scripture tells us that God has placed us where we are for his purpose. You know, Esther is a great and powerful example of this truth. So if you've got your Bible, look at Esther this week. I want you to pull it out. I want you to study it because she was really unlikely to be a success. She was part of the Jewish culture, and that was her background. And in God's love and kindness, he judged Israel. They were doing some bad things. They were worshiping idols and doing just some really awful things. So in his love and mercy, instead of just saying, you know what, then just have at it and you guys just wipe yourself out. because all sin leads to destruction. He said, no, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to let you come into captivity, and I'm going to preserve you, though. Because he knew that he wanted Jesus to be born in that lineage. So when they were taken and captured, there was a younger girl, and she was put into captivity, and her parents passed away. So she was an orphan. So she's an orphan, and she's being cared for by an uncle, and she was really not what you would think would be the success story or the one that's going to save the nation. She was just being faithful and doing what God told her to do each and every day. She was obedient. She was kind. She was respectful of those in authority over her. Is that how we are in our daily life and our business? Do we talk great about our company? Do we talk great about our upline or our leaders? Do we talk great about those that are mentoring us, or do we backbite? Do we get discouraged and we say negative things? She didn't. And what happened is, in this kingdom, is the king, he was hanging out with his buddies, and they got drunk. They were drinking too much, and they said, hey, let's bring in the queen, and let's have her dance for us. Well, I don't know if she was a rebellious queen or if she just saw, you know what, their intention is not good. She refused to dance for them. So she lost being queen. He put her away. He got angry, put her away, and got a divorce. And then the buddies came back around, and they said, you know what, King, what you need to do is you need to get a new queen. So what they decided is they were going to get, he was going to look for a new queen, and so they put a decree out to the whole country that any virgin, any beautiful girl that they could apply. And so Mordecai and Esther decided that Esther would. And at that point, her name really wasn't Esther. It was Hadassah. And she decided that she would apply for this position. I mean, what girl wouldn't want to? And to be really honest with you, I don't know if they really had much of a choice, because I'm sure they had men scouring top to bottom for the kingdom to find the new queen. You know, one of the things that she had to start doing once she got inside of the kingdom, and I'm sure even before that, when she was in the stages of the selection, is she had to prepare. Do you have to prepare? Sometimes the preparation part isn't fun. You know, I'm the kind of person where I just like to do things. I love to be a human doing, not necessarily a human being. I'm working on that. But there's a preparation time, right? A lot of times people say, oh, that person's just so lucky. Look at them. They just have everything just falls in their lap. No, they're diligent. They prepare. And that's what she had to do. And as she did, she prepared, and wouldn't you know, she was selected. But before she was, and it tells us this in the second chapter, in verse 12 and 13, it says, now when the turn of each maiden came to go into the king after the regulations for the women had been carried out for 12 months, she had to get beautiful and prepare for 12 months inside the kingdom. Since there was a regular period for their beauty treatments, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet spices and perfumes and the things for purifying of the women. Then in this way, the maiden came to the king. Whatever she desired was given to her to take her from the harem into the king's palace. In that evening, she went in, and the next day she returned into the second harem in the custody of another, Shashgaz, I think is his name, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of all the concubines. And she came to the king no more unless the king delighted in her and she was called for by name. And wouldn't you know what happened? And now then the turn for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter, had come to go into the king. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's attendant, the keeper of the women, suggested. And Esther won favor in the sight of all who saw her. So she didn't just say, this is exactly what I'm going to do. No, she went and he said, now listen, I've been around here a long time. Take my advice. These are best business practices. If you want to be selected as queen, this is what you need to do. And she won favor in the sight of everyone. Why are you where you are? Why was she where she was? You know, Scripture tells us that God has placed us where we are for his purposes, and Esther's that example for us. Look for the opportunities around you. Look in your neighborhood, your workplace, your business, and yeah, even in your house, look in your home for ways that he wants to partner with you, and you can partner with him in the work for his kingdom. You know, God desires to promote you to a place of influence and leadership, to a place where eternal destinies could and will be changed. Consider it a privilege, not a sacrifice or something causing depravity because you need to prepare or that you've been called or you've been chosen. The story goes on, and she did become queen, and then there was an evil guy that was there in the court. His name's Haman, and he wanted to kill all the Jewish people, and that would have killed her as well. And he was just hateful. And one of the things, if you noticed in the scripture that I read, you couldn't come into the king's court unless he called you by name. Otherwise, you'd be killed instantly. They just said, you know, away with you, and you'd be done. And she went. She took a risk. But before she did several other things. But she had to make some pretty tough decisions. And, you know, she was a young girl. What decisions do you need to make so that you can honor God? What decisions do you need to make that will honor God? Search your heart. Right now, I want you to just take a minute and search your heart. It may have been something that started as just that restless feeling inside of your guts, or a stirring, or an uncomfortableness. That's the beginning. Ask the Lord to show you what will honor him. So what did Esther do? What did she really do to earn the divine favor? Here's some step-by-step instructions for you. She kept herself pure. She trusted those who cared for her and were in authority or in an authoritative position over her. She changed her name from Hadassah, which meant compassion, to Esther, which means star. To me, I kind of saw that was like a passing of releasing the old to embrace the new. She didn't share secrets that she was told not to share. At one point, her uncle said, you know what, Esther, you can't tell the king or anyone else that you are a Jew, or you're going to be killed as well. So she kept some secrets, and it wasn't that it was harmful, and she did come and she did tell the truth in the right time. But when she was given a secret, she didn't start gossiping and sharing and freaking out and worrying and having to talk to everybody about the issue and about the problem. She just kept that secret into her heart. She purified and she beautified herself. At this point, she was winning favor in the sight of everyone that saw her. She gained favor. You know, so did David. You know, the word tells us that he had God's favor because he was a man after God's own heart. He tells us that in 1 Samuel 13:14. She was chosen. Now, I know you think, okay, well, that's great. I'd love to be chosen. How do I get chosen? Well, the good news is you already are. You were chosen from the Most High God. This is a prerequisite for favor. You know, we see this at the very first example in Abraham in Genesis 12:1-3. He had a lot of people in his family, but God chose him. He started speaking to him. He wanted relationship with him. You were chosen for relationship. If you're on this call, just know that you've already been chosen. She became queen. She had to step into a place that she did not feel comfortable. She took the time to prepare, and she became queen. So take the time to prepare. Step into that place of influence that you've been given or that is available to you. She didn't react to the gossip and the lies spoken about her or her people. She knew she had a higher call. She knew what the truth was. She was not going to give in to that. And I love the fact that she didn't react. She went to the Lord. She sought advice and wise counsel from godly people that she knew she could trust. She was asked to do something that seemed impossible and life-threatening for the kingdom cause. You might be asked the same thing. Maybe it might not be that your physical life might be asked, but maybe it might be that your reputation or that your old life be sacrificed. for the kingdom cause. Then she fasted and prayed. And she asked those closest to her to do the same. She took 3 days to fast and pray. And then she risked everything. She acted radically. She did it with respect, though. She went before the king with the right motives, a humble heart, and did it in obedience. Therefore, God gave her favor, and she was instrumental in saving her nation from disaster. When's the last time you took a risk? Really took a risk. You put it out there for your business, for the kingdom cause. You put it out there to build the kingdom. My hope for you today is that you see what Esther saw, that we will shake ourselves, that you will shake yourself into reality and start doing what God has asked us to do and asked you to do, no matter what the cost. Can you imagine if we really started acting like God's call was really important? Because it is. You know, every act of obedience is worship to the Lord. And divine favor is not the result of luck or random happenstance. It's the result of obedience. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, the obedient, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He doesn't ignore it. He watches for the obedience. That's how we worship him most. When we release our faith and we stand firm in our faith, we continue to worship and hold fast to a good confession, we'll always see the enemy's plan for evil in our lives work for our good and to his demise. The Lord tells us that he's going to work everything together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purpose. And it doesn't just mean that we're supposed to be called. We're supposed to act out our faith, right? Now, I'm not saying you have to act out your faith for salvation. I'm not saying that at all. But if you want that supernatural, that amazing divine favor, we've got to do a few things. We've got to show God, worship him, love him. Let him know that we are serious about this relationship. You know, whether it's in the open for the kingdom or whether we do it in secret, every good thing that you do, God records it. He doesn't forget it. And the day's going to come when our good deeds will be brought out into the open. Every time that you prayed, every time you submitted to authority, when you wanted to rebel, or every time that you confess the word of God, even when our insides are screaming to our emotions to say something negative or something that contradicts the word of God. If you say, I don't know if this business is for me. This business just isn't working out. I just can't seem to get this going. This isn't what I should be doing. Or, you know what, my business is not successful. That goes against the word of God, because God tells us in his word that he's given us the ability to create wealth, that he wants us to be successful, that he has given us every measure so that we can be successful in our business. He sees each time we offer up a sacrifice of praise. He records all the good things that you've done, according to Hebrews 6:10. He tells us that. So keep in mind that you're not doing these things for your own glory, but to give all that glory back to him. Do what God has asked you to do. Take your position, just like Esther did. Don't give up. Stand still and trust God. Enter into his rest. Quit worrying and wavering. See and live out what God has planned for you. I'm going to be a little bit strong here. It tells us in James 4:17, so any person who knows what's right to do but doesn't do it, to him it's sin. God looks at that like you're sinning. If you know that you're supposed to be doing something, if he's called you to something, if it says something in the word and you read that and you know in your heart that you're supposed to be doing that and you don't do it, it's sin. God's plan for our life is all that matters. Do it. Do it today. You know, James 4:14 tells us that we do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. Don't put it off. It also goes on to say, you know, that we don't know the nature of our life. That we're really just a wisp of vapor, like a small puff of smoke or a slight mist that's visible for just a little while, and then it disappears into the thin air. Now, I know this is strong, but the time is short. Did you realize that you were willfully sinning if you're not doing what God's called you to do and what you you know you're supposed to do? Did you know that you can sin by not doing something? Committing evil deeds is certainly sinful, but so is failing to do what you know God wants you to do. Actively engage into what's pleasing to God. Search your heart. Do as Esther did. Now, I know that some of you might be feeling, well, oh, gosh, I'm not doing it, and you are going to let guilt and condemnation come into your life. That's not from the Lord either. That's from the enemy. So don't go to that place. Ask forgiveness, because God says all we have to do is humble ourselves before him, ask him to forgive us of our sin, and then repent. Do something different. Don't do that again. Think about it. What if Esther didn't obey? Would Jesus even have been born? She's in his lineage. The race would have been eradicated. Esther 4:13 tells us, "Do not think that you will escape any more than all the others. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from another place and you will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Will your purpose and call be passed on to someone else? Do you want to risk that? I know I sure don't. Surrender. Be obedient. You were created for this time and a time such as this. John 14:15 tells us, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." I want to encourage you today. Your hour of favor has come. Your hour of promotion is here. Release your faith, and divine favor will invade you. Salvation, recovery, and restoration are coming your way. I promise you. Maybe the Lord's asking you to get more active in your business. Maybe he's asked you to invite a family member or a friend or a neighbor to church or even invited them to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And you think, oh my gosh, this makes me nervous. I'm sure Esther was nervous. But think about it this way. You may be the one person that God has chosen to reach them and to help secure their eternity. What an awesome opportunity for him to use you. And when you make the effort to invite them, to share with them, to do what he's called you to do, it shows them that you care. It doesn't mean that they're being put off by you. We're so blessed to live in a free country where inviting people to hear the gospel costs us nothing. And on the other hand, it may have a significant eternal cost to the one who isn't invited. Do you want to be that person that can invite them? Do you want to be that person that steps into your business and uses it for kingdom cause? I believe you are. We've got about 5 minutes, so I'm going to open up the lines and see if there's any other prayer requests or praise reports, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a specific prayer request or praise report this morning before I enter into the Lord in prayer? You guys are quiet today. You're funny. Okay. Last chance. All right. I'm going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that you have called us for this time. You've chosen us. Your favor is upon us, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you that you are not allowing us to come under guilt and condemnation, Lord. That's not from you, but that you have brought this to hold up a mirror in front of our eyes, in front of our own lives. Lord, we ask forgiveness for the areas that maybe we haven't been obedient, or that we've known that you've called us to a higher purpose, or you've chosen us to do something that required risk or preparation, or that we would have to humble ourselves, or that we would have to come under authority, or that we would have to do things that didn't seem normal or natural, or that would take us away from what we thought was comfortable for us, like our own family. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us. You've called us. I know that each and every person that's listening to this call, whether it's live or recorded, that you've called them and that this message is for them, just like it is for me. I thank you for the the ability to be chosen by you, to come underneath your supernatural divine favor, to have favor be all around me. I thank you that you are empowering me to live a life of respect and honor, obedience, kindness, that I can show your love and I can care for other people like you would for us. Lord, I thank you that we are not reacting to the gossip and the lies spoken about us, that we are not reacting with negativity, that we are speaking truth and life into our businesses and into our lives and those around us. We thank you that you have called us to your kingdom cause. Lord, if there is a time of fasting and praying that's required, prompt our hearts that we would be diligent in relationship with you. Lord, we know that if you've asked us to risk everything, we lay it out before you. We surrender it all to you right now. Every material thing, Lord, every emotional thing that we're hanging on to, everything that we feel like we need, we know that we only truly need you. Help us to act radically with respect. Help us to be instrumental in living out your purpose. Lord, we don't want to have you not be able to use us because of our fleshly desires and our desire to be in the world, but that you will give us a new fire in our belly, a new fire and passion inside of our hearts to serve you in a new way, a fresh way, a way that's full of your goodness and your favor, Lord. I don't want to have us ever hear the word that you've decided to use someone else or that someone has perished because we weren't obedient. We know that we were created for a time like this. Lord, so I do ask that your favor falls upon each and every person in a new, fresh way, that even at this moment they will feel a new refreshing, that it will be like drinking in just pools and pools of cool water, quenching their thirst for you. Lord, I just pray that your promotion falls upon them, Lord. And we know that promotion comes from you. Sometimes you ask that we are diligent and we prepare, Lord. But sometimes it's just supernatural. It's just a blessing. Just like we bless our children when they're obedient, we just want to give them and shower them with blessings, Lord. We know that you do the same thing. So, Lord, I just thank you that you're releasing promotion, that you're releasing favor. Lord, I thank you that restoration has come, that recovery has come, that salvation is here, that we don't have to worry, that we don't have to stress, that we don't waver any longer, Lord, that we follow you 100%. Lord, I release a new anointing, a new favor, a new blessing, that everyone is blessed whether they're coming in or going out, that blessings and financial resources are coming from the north, the south, the east, the west, unexpected places, that they are given the opportunity to minister for you, to stand bold in their faith, to be that person that steps up, that you've chosen, that can affect and secure others' eternity. We know that only comes through you, Jesus, and we just thank you and we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all things. Lord, we thank you for this time. We bless you. We glorify you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, make it a fantastic week, everybody. Step up, live out your call and your favor because you have been born for this time, this moment, this season, this week, this day, this hour. Make a difference for the kingdom of God and know that I'm praying for you. I love you. Invite your friends to our call, anybody that just would be blessed by an anointing and starting their week. I can't wait to praise the Lord with you. So if you've got a way that the Lord is answering your prayers, or if you have a prayer request, go over to the Facebook page, The Christian Direct Seller, and post it there because I'd be happy to pray for you and praise the Lord with you. God's so amazing, and so are you. His goodness is inside of you, and he loves you. Take care, and I'll talk to you again next Monday. Bye, everybody.